Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, and I want to thank everybody who's contributed to the membership drive so far. Keep them coming. I'm not going to talk about it now. At WNYC.org or 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. If you haven't done it yet, thanks everybody. And before we bring Peter Sagal on and have some fun with a joint Brian Lehrer show, Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me News Quiz, I want to introduce you formally now to our latest group journalism project. You know the crowdsourcing that we've done before with Are You Being Gouged on price disparities for common grocery items or the SUV count on your block that we did this summer? Well, our latest group journalism project introduced right now is called Hillary Rudy Money. We are inviting you to dig into the details of Hillary Clinton's and Rudy Giuliani's brand new financial statements and see what you find that's of interest to the public. Here's how it works. It's really simple. We have placed links on our website to the Federal Election Commission site where you can see the fundraising and spending records of the Clinton and Giuliani campaigns just released this week. Your job is to dig around in those records for anything that's interesting, unusual, or funny. Anything that's interesting, unusual, or funny. Then just post what you find on our comments page for everyone to see. We chose Clinton and Giuliani because they are our local New York candidates. And this is what professional journalists do all the time, look into public records. But some things are too important to be left to the professionals alone. So come join us in this endeavor with your amateur energy. That's our latest crowdsourcing or group journalism project, Hillary Rudy Money. We're looking for anything interesting, unusual, or just plain funny in the campaign donations and campaign expenditures of the Clinton and Giuliani campaigns. We have clear and simple instructions on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to take a look. Now, the first ever Brian Lehrer, Peter Sagal, joint news quiz. You know Peter Sagal is the host of NPR's weekend comedy news quiz program, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which airs at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoons on AM 820 and 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings on 93.9 FM. He is also the author of a brand new book called The Book of Vice, Very Naughty Things and How to Do Them, which we will talk about a little bit, as well as there is also the brand new Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me News Junkies Quiz 2008 calendar. And this is from which we are going to draw some of the questions. So there we go. And let me bring on Peter Sagal. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Brian. How are you, sir?
Thanks a lot for doing this.
My pleasure. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
You've been waiting all these many minutes to say that line, right?
I know. I've been sitting here. I know just what to say as soon as he welcomes me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so this is great. I mean, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity because you're on, you know, all the NPR stations all over the country, and now you're doing this just for little old WNYC here.
Hey, little old WNYC. No, I don't know if people know this, but before I became a host at NPR, I was living in New York. I was living in Brooklyn as a freelance writer, and what did I do all day but listen to WNYC? So it's actually just as much of a thrill for me to talk to you as it might be for you to talk to me, let me tell you.
And we are also, and thanks a lot, we are also offering the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me News Junkies Quiz Page a Day 2008 calendar as a thank you gift in our membership drive. So if you want to get this thing, go to WNYC.org and check it out or call 1-888-376-9692. Now, as with, and that's for a $120 pledge. Now, as with the New York Know-It-All Quiz that we did earlier in the week, if you get three answers in a row right, you win a prize. Only this time we're not giving away T-shirts, as we often do. Peter, I gather you've agreed to tell the listeners what the prize is.
I am ready to announce that I don't know where you got this idea, but I think it's brilliant, and I think it can only spread. But winners of this quiz today on WNYC will have the signal honor of having Mr. Brian Lehrer himself, record a greeting on your home answering device.
Your outgoing message.
outgoing message, your voicemail, yourself, whatever. Whatever you need. I mean, in other words, he'll do it. There you go.
You can have
the voice of daytime WMYC.
As long as you sue us for plagiarism here.
No, I am willing to overlook it this once.
Inspired, of course, by the fact that they do this with Carl Castle on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, where people can win his voice on your voicemail or answering machine. Today, it's my voice. If you get three in a row right on this Brian Lehrer, Peter Sagal, WNYC News Quiz, so call to play. This is not our pledge line. We'll never ask you for money at 1-212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Peter, you have some questions. I have some questions. We'll talk about your book later on. And how about this? We'll just start right in with Mary in Westbrook. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Brian.
Thanks for doing this. And you want to take the first question there, Peter?
Sure, Mary. Hello. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I picked the calendar, by the way, for my premium.
Oh, excellent. That's good choice. We used to call it the page-a-day calendar,
but it is still called a page-a-day calendar.
It is still.
I'm looking at it
right
now.
We had a lot of jokes out of that when Mark Foley was in the news last year, but moving on.
Ouch.
I know. Well, that's my business. Anyway, so I have a question for you here, Mayor. Here we go. Vladimir Putin turned 55 this month. Some say that with age comes wisdom. So what did he start thinking he wanted to do in retirement, in his golden years? After his presidential term ends.
Become prime minister?
Exactly right. Well done.
Thank you.
I'm used to hearing a bell at that moment. I had almost a Pavlovian, like, where's the bell?
Yes,
where's
we
the
have
bell?
No
yes,
bells.
Very good.
We have no bells.
Okay.
Just whistles, but they're not for mixed company.
That was well done, though.
So, okay, the next question comes from the actual Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me page a day 2008 calendar. And here we go. It says, one of the principal figures implicated in the Abramoff scandal of 2005 and 2006 was Representative Bob Ney of Ohio. Besides his involvement with the infamous lobbyist, Ney was most famous as the man who insisted that the House cafeteria do what?
Oh, name French Fries Freedom Fries?
You got it, Mary.
Excellent.
So that's two. Mary is one, just one little piece of knowledge away, and we can tell Mary's knowledgeable, from my voice on your outgoing message. Peter, go
from
for it.
How many times I call your show, Brian?
That's right.
All right, here we go. This is a tough one. I'm gonna move down the list here to find one that sort of wraps it up. Here we go. French President Nicolas Sarkozy loves the United States, of course, and on his recent summer vacation, he went to New Hampshire. On a side trip, of course, he visited the Bush family in Kennebunkport, Maine. And what meal, what very un-French meal, was he served for lunch?
Either hot dogs or hamburgers. He had his choice.
Both.
Right?
Both is the answer. That you are so good. My gosh.
Now we
that
need
was amazing
a bell.
That you
Mary,
knew.
Uh-oh, Mary, now you're in trouble.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Did you also know this? This is my favorite thing about that particular incident, that Mrs. Sarkozy, Madame Sarkozy, was invited to lunch, and she begged off because she said she had a sore throat, and then was photographed that very day shopping elsewhere, out and about.
My kind of gal.
You think so? You think that maybe she was trying to make it polite?
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations, Barry. Well done.
I guess if you have a sore throat, then, hamburgers and hot dogs are not
also,
so good.
And this really raised suspicion. She was seen entering and winning a yodeling contest in Lake Winnipesaukee. So
well, I love both of your programs, so I'm very excited, Brian, to have your name on, or your voice on my outgoing message machine.
Okay, Mary in Westbrook is the first to win my voice on your outgoing message machine.
Mary, do you know what you're going to have Brian say?
No, not yet. I get to start thinking about that now.
Okay, so Mary, we're going to put you on hold so we can take your contact information so we can do this. Now, how does this work when you do it with Carl Castle? Are there stock lines or anything he won't say, or how does this work?
Well, we of course had to develop a system over the years as the show grew. For example, back in the early days when we had relatively few stations and listeners, Carl would simply go to people's house and stand there and wait for the phone to ring. And as we got more listeners, that turned to be impractical. So basically what happens now is people can write whatever they want. And Carl, being Carl, will pretty much do it. The only thing he has ever balked at is doing commercial endorsements. For example, some people, I don't know, they're Amway salesmen or they sell cosmetic products or whatever it is. And they want Carl to do, it's like, you can leave your order for it. And Carl won't do that.
Yeah,
but anything
that
else, he'll do. He has sung. He has done mock pledge breaks. He has recited poems. He has done funny voices. He has said things kind of salacious. The one that I'm waiting for.
Salacious?
Is Yes. Well, I mean, no one's actually done this, but I want somebody to say, like, and have Carl do, like, hi, it's Carl. Janice and I can't come to the phone right now, but I'm sure we'll get around to getting your message. Thanks. Something like that, which I think he'd be happy to do.
But I think I've gotten myself in over my head here.
Oh, yes.
Let's take
you
another,
have to be ready.
Let's take another contestant. George in Manhattan. Hi, George. You're on WNYC.
Good morning.
So here, and I recognize your voice. You took the other quiz the other day. Did you win?
Yes, I did. No, I didn't. I got the hardest question that nobody got.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's what they all say. I got the hardest question, but then you tripped me up on an easy one.
Iron Triangle.
Iron Triangle, that area
now
of Queens.
Know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here is one directly from the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me 2008 Page a Day calendar. It says, in 2006, a judge in Arizona fined a woman. This, by the way, is from Friday, January 18th of next year. And it says, in 2006, a judge in Arizona fined a woman for improper use of high-occupancy vehicle lanes. He denied the woman's claim that what counted as a second passenger in the vehicle? You need it again?
No. I believe it was her pet.
No, it was not her pet. So, George, thanks a lot for trying. We're going to go right on to David on the Upper East Side. Hi, David.
My gosh, you guys are harsh in New York. I forgot about that. The Midwest, we forgive.
This is it.
You guys are tough, man.
He's forgiven, just eliminated.
I still well.
David on the Upper East Side, do you need the question again?
Yes, please.
Okay. In 2006, a judge in Arizona, which by the time this calendar comes out will be 2 years ago, not last year.
Yes.
In 2006, a judge in Arizona fined a woman for improper use of high-occupancy vehicle lanes. He denied the woman's claim that what counted as a second passenger in the vehicle.
And the previous answer was pet, and that was wrong?
Correct.
Yes.
That doesn't count as a right answer, though.
I'll guess mannequin.
Mannequin was a nice try, but you don't think that she could really have tried to, you know, argue before a judge that a mannequin should have counted.
No, that probably wouldn't have worked.
Michael in Williamsburg, you're going to be our last.
Oh, my gosh, they're dropping like flies here.
We love David, but we had to disconnect him. Now, the rule here, Peter, maybe you know from our previous kinds of quizzes, is if a question stumps three callers in a row, then we reveal the answer and move on to another question. So Michael in Williamsburg is going to be the last one at this.
Well, you probably got me, but
I'll just
take a stab and say her shopping.
Her shopping was the other passenger in the car. No, but thank you for playing. And so Peter, I'm surprised that nobody got that it was, in fact, her unborn child.
Yes. They say you eat for two. Why not driving for two?
So
you have to give this woman props for her, what we say in, I think, New York, chutzpah. But it almost worked.
You know, but I could see, couldn't you see if there was still Republican control of Congress, a special emergency session being called to declare the unborn fetus a legitimate passenger for high occupancy vehicle lanes?
I think so. I mean, next thing you know, they'll be getting group discounts at Disney World. But, I think that was it. I kind of admire this woman. I think that, you know, if you're going to go down fighting.
We will continue with the first ever Brian Lehrer, Peter Sagal, Brian Lehrer Show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me host, news quiz. The prize is if you get three in a row right, I will record a voicemail or answering machine message for you. Stay with us, Brian Lehrer and Peter Sagal on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal. We'll get back to the quiz in a minute. But Peter, you also have a new book out called The Book of Vice, Very Naughty Things and How to Do Them. Of all the topics in the world, why a book about vice?
Well, what would you write about if given a choice? I mean, quite seriously, or rather I should say slightly more seriously, I decided I wanted to write a book, and I wanted it to be something different than what I do from week to week on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And it just so happens that I found myself very curious. I know there are a lot of writers in New York, and the writer rule is, write what you know. I find it more interesting to write what I don't know anything about and want to go find out about. And it just so happens that in the course of my life and in the course of my work, these sorts of topics have come up a lot. I'll use Larry Craig as an example, somebody in the news who got caught and somewhat embarrassed for doing something that he really shouldn't have been doing, but it raises a lot of questions. What was he doing in that bathroom, or what did he want to happen, and what kind of transpires? There are a lot of stories like that. Larry Craig, of course, sadly, we'll have to wait for the sequel of this book. But there were a lot of other stories like that. I had done some work in this kind of area before, and so I had sort of some research already done. One of my jobs when I was a starving writer was ghostwriting the memoirs of a woman who purported to be the director of many successful porn films in the 80s, in the Boogie Nights period of that industry. And so it seemed a natural place to start. So I ended up going and looking into all these areas that most people like myself rarely venture into, and I came to report back in hopefully an amusing and entertaining and maybe even informative way.
Now, is there a sliding scale of priorities here implied by the way you organize the book? You start with a chapter on swinging. I guess that means
Yes. Sleeping
with people other than your spouse, right?
Well, that, of course, would, you know, that's under the general rubric of adultery. This is the specific organized activities in which you and your spouse go together to do this as a couple.
Aha, uh-huh. Right, I see.
Yes.
So swinging and then eating and then lying. All as vices. So what does the arrangement of that order of things say?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons that went into the – I mean, I wanted to sort of move around, if you will, the world of misbehavior. I didn't want it to be all sex or all anything else or all pecuniary vices. I wanted – there are a lot of different ways that people who want to break the rules and indulge themselves in ways that they know they probably shouldn't could do so. And I wanted to cover as many of them as I could in the time I had allotted to me.
So how does one go about conducting research for a book like this?
Well, I took the sort of the Tom Wolfe approach without making any comparisons between my talent and his. But as you know, Tom Wolfe, very early in his career, gave up any pretense of belonging to the world in which he was writing about. He shows up in his three-piece suit and his hat, and he is an alien, and he says, I don't know anything about this. Could you explain it? And that was more or less my approach without the three-piece suit. For example, The Swingers Club. I said, hi, my name is Peter Sagal. I host a show on NPR, which, by the way, they hadn't heard of. I guess our demographic does not extend to the lifestyle as much as we might wish.
And you weren't wearing a white suit, so they didn't
I was not wearing a white suit.
As Tom Wolfe.
No. I use that as a metaphor rather than a clothing guide. And I showed up and I just started asking questions. Well, how do you do this? And how does this work? And how do you find people to do this with? And my wife and I, in that particular case, went to a club and attended a party as observers, I should say, and talked to people again about their enthusiasms. And the results are all in the book. For gambling, I went to Las Vegas. I talked to people. I talked to a professional gambler named Anthony Curtis. I talked to an executive at both MGM Grand, the huge gambling resort consortium. I also talked to a guy who ran a casino downtown. I talked to people who I gambled with. I mean, I just tried to find out what they're doing. With came to eating, I talked to a lot of people, including Grant Achatz, who some people think is the finest chef in America today, and observed him in his kitchen and talked to his chefs. You just go and you ask questions. And people are remarkably, particularly people, for example, the porn stars who I had dinner with, my wife and I, in Chicago, and report on that in the book, they're rather open about their choices and their lifestyles. And they're certainly not ashamed. And it turns out that when you talk to them, you find out a lot of interesting things, the most interesting one of which is they're just kind of people.
Just another day in the life of the Sagal family, going out to have dinner with porn stars. So the book is The Book of Vice, Very Naughty Things and How to Do Them. Now we're going to get back to this news quiz where if you get three in a row right, you'll win my voice on your voicemail. But before we leave the book aside, what did you tell your young daughters or
my three daughters
that you were writing about?
Well, basically, it's interesting. My daughters, who are 9, 7, and 4, don't really know what the book is about, although I do want to tell the world that my daughter Rose, born in Brooklyn, by the way, Long Island Memorial Hospital, actually contributed a word in the subtitle, Very Naughty Things, as opposed to Very Bad Things, which it was before she corrected me. So it's the first time that somebody has actually contributed a title to a book that she is not yet allowed to read. I think my parents found out what I was doing with my time when they read the acknowledgments, in which I finally admit to them that, yes, this is what I've been working on all this time. It presented some logistical problems. We didn't tell our kids exactly where we were going to go. But then again, this is a problem faced by the people in the lifestyle. I asked some people at the Swingers Club, for example, they had kids. What do you tell your babysitter? We tell them we're going to a party and we'll be out late.
There you go. And the next time your daughters see the word vice president in the news.
Yes. They'll think it's me. Hey.
Okay. The president
of, actually running for office.
The vice president of the Brian Lehrer Show this hour is Don't Tell Me host Peter Sagal. Now we're going to get back to our joint Brian Lehrer Peter Sagal news quiz with questions drawn from the forthcoming, which we have an advanced copy of, Don't Tell Me News Junkies quiz, page a day, 2008 calendar, and from the warp minds of Brian Lehrer Show producers. Mark in Dobbs Ferry. Hey, Mark, you ready for some quiz questions?
Probably not, but I'm going to try anyway.
You're going to do your best. Okay, Peter, I think you're up.
All right. I have to say, it seems like you guys got the funny questions. Well, I have the serious ones, but I'm going to see what I can do. Here's one. Here's one. Slate.com found out that this presidential hopeful's daughter Facebook profile linked to the Barack Obama campaign. The link was promptly removed, but whose daughter was this?
Was that Rudy Giuliani's?
It was Rudy Giuliani.
Very good. Very good.
You may remember this, that, of course, you guys living in New York know all about Rudy's familial problems, but apparently it's just that his children won't speak to him. His children are actually supporting other candidates, which I think is maybe not a good sign. I mean, if your own family is kind of a focus group on you, just saying.
Maybe you can write in his children's names.
What do New Yorkers, as I once was, and I was there during the Giuliani administration, what do you folks think of Rudy's presidential run? Are you proud your former mayor is leading, or are you horrified?
You're putting Mark in the awkward position of being the bellwether for all New Yorkers.
Well, I have spoken with all New Yorkers.
I think I can
speak. Most people would be highly embarrassed to say anything positive about Rudy, but they secretly do acknowledge that he did do something to clean up New York. But other than that, he's very unpopular.
All right,
we're going to see him.
Mark's going to be on the McLaughlin Group doing political analysis next week.
What New Yorker has ever been shy about offering his opinion on anything?
Mark, here's the next question, and it comes from the Don't Tell Me 2008 page a day calendar, and it says employees of the University of Florida can receive medical benefits for their domestic partners, gay or straight, but under a controversial policy, the employee must also swear that the employee and the partner are doing what?
Having sex.
They must sign an affidavit swearing that they have been involved in a, quote, non-platonic relationship, unquote, for at least 12 months. So you are right.
Oh,
yes.
So exciting.
Could be
drawn
right from the book of the book of vice.
Came from our show. We actually did a question about that. And I remember that we advised people in this situation to simply stare at the ceiling and think of the deductible.
Okay, so that's two right for Mark. He is one away from getting my voice on his voicemail. Peter, you have the next question.
All right, I have the next question. As you know, or maybe you don't know, the United Auto Workers struck against Chrysler, one of the biggest labor actions in the auto industry in years. It just happened last week. How long was the strike? How long did it last?
Less than a whole shift.
Right.
Do I have to give a number of hours?
Well, within a few hours of the length of a typical American League Championship baseball game.
I'd say 4 hours.
Less than the length of a typical American League Championship Series baseball game, and you are right.
Yes,
oh my
very good.
God.
That's right.
I never win anything.
We're spending our cornet budget on you. It was 6 hours to be precise, but that was in the way you said less than a work day, and we are taking 4 hours as a stand-in for 6 hours here. So, Mark, I'll tell you what. You hang on, and we're going to take your contact information and start thinking about what you want me to say on your voicemail.
I will.
And be kind, okay? Be gentle with me.
And, Peter, it's great to be almost on your show.
Almost.
Great to be
almost,
on your show, Brian.
Thank you very much. All right, Mark. Hang on there.
Bye-bye, Mark.
And Mary Angela, is it, in Manhattan?
That is correct, actually.
Hey,
I'm very impressed. No one pronounces it correctly ever.
Well, I have a very good screener who writes very accurately. So it is Mary-Angela.
Oh, well, it's actually one word.
One word.
An I.
Oh. With a... Spell it?
Marie Angela.
Wow, Marie Angela. Okay, so you get the first question from me, right? Mm-hmm. From the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me page of day 2008 calendar. And let's see, here's a quote. It starts with a quote. One of the things I've used on the Google is to pull up maps. I kind of like to look at the ranch. It reminds me of where I want to be sometimes. Now, that is someone getting kind of wistful about the images he checks out on what he calls the Google. Who longs to be on his ranch?
President Bush?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
In an interview with Maria Bartiromo on CNBC, the president revealed what he likes to do during work hours, fool around with Google Earth on what he called the Google. Okay, that's one right. Peter, you're up.
All right, let's see. I'm trying to here's one. Here we go. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice named which great baseball player as U.S. public diplomacy special envoy? His first trip as a goodwill ambassador will be to China. Who are we talking about?
Wait, can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice named a great baseball player as a U.S. public diplomacy special envoy. His first trip will be as a goodwill ambassador to China. Who is it?
Is that, I want to say Derek Jeter, but I know it's wrong. Is that Cal Ripken?
That is Cal Ripken. Woo-hoo. Although, as a Red Sox fan, I did want to point out that Derek Jeter isn't doing anything right now. But then again, pretty soon it looks like neither will the Red Sox, so I'll keep my mouth shut. No, yes, it is Cal Ripken. I find that funny because Cal Ripken, of course, his great achievement was showing up for work every day. And in China, of course, you have to do that, in China, they do that already, otherwise they'll be imprisoned. So I don't know if that's a message we need to send to China.
God.
Which is a riff on the old Soviet model, which is that you pretend to work and we pretend to pay you.
Exactly. So, you know, but I'm glad, I hope he goes over there.
France's motto.
Yes, well, it's the light. That's the Soviet model light. Here, all right, that's two, right?
That is two.
So you are one question away.
You know I'm not going to get this one right.
And here it is. This is the next one up on the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me page of day 2008 calendar. And this may be kind of hard, actually, but it says, in February 2006, mm-hmm. two drug dealers in different parts of the country were busted after they got caught doing what? Two drug dealers in different parts of the country were busted after they got caught doing what?
Oh, I have no idea.
Very much a part of American culture.
Not baseball. It's February.
No.
Very much a part of American culture.
No.
Not
sports. Think media. Think what we don't do.
Think what we don't do? What?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, that's the last clue I'm giving you.
I know. I'm perplexed.
It's not. It's not. The answer is not Cal Ripken. I'll give you that too.
Oh. Two drug dealers on other sides of the country, both busted for drugs. Doing what? That's the question.
Both busted after they got caught doing what?
Oh, okay. Both busted after they're caught. Oh, I have no idea, guys.
Mary Angela, it has been fun.
I'm sorry.
But we have to move on.
Gosh.
Great to talk to you. Okay, Jeremy in Manhattan has... Oh, wait a minute. I have this on... Hang on, Jeremy. Just hang on 1 second. All right, now we got you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So that same question is on the table.
I would take a wild guess and say they were advertising.
They absolutely were advertising. Drug dealer number one, Sylvester Williams of Leavenworth, Kansas, appropriately, I guess, decided to print promotional business cards. Drug dealer number two, Tyrone Burgo of Boston, tried selling cocaine online and included his phone number for any interested buyers. How do you like that?
Wonderful.
At least we know Mr. Williams from Kansas won't have to go far from home eventually.
It's a Craigslist age. So what do you do now? I mean, so Mary answered the first question correctly. Now this
gentleman
is
No. This is we wipe the slate clean here.
Oh, he starts. He has to get three now.
That's his first. So now, Peter, you're up with the next question for Jeremy.
All right. I'm looking around here. I'm looking for an amusing one. Hang on a second. All right. Here we go. Paul McCartney is having some legal woes, as you know. His divorce with Heather Mills. And this piece of news could not have made him feel much better. BBC Six Music named this song the worst music duet ever. What is it?
Oh, wow.
You know, Paul McCartney was at least half of it.
Yes. I'm trying to.
Well, let's hope that Jeremy could have figured that out.
I'm trying to think who he's been singing with lately.
No, this actually goes back some years, about 20 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, sorry? Wow.
Peter's being very generous with you.
That's because I'm a Midwestern now. I'm a Midwesterner now, and that's how we roll.
That is.
We're generous. We're
nice.
Kind.
We give
people a little, you know, we're nice.
Yeah, Yoko?
Say again?
Yeah, Yoko? Like John Lennon's ex-wife?
Oh, Yoko.
I think that would be a lovely thing if Paul were to duet with Yoko,
that
given
would.
Their history. But no.
Nope.
No.
Jeremy,
happen.
Thank you. Jay in Dumont, New Jersey. You're on WNYC.
Hello.
Hi, Jay.
Hello.
So you heard the Paul McCartney question?
No, I'm sorry. I was filing.
Peter, go for it again.
All right,
filing.
Here's the question.
Your nails?
Paul McCartney, in the middle of his legal woes with his divorce from Heather Mills, got some bad news. BBC Six Music, I assume that's a music channel, named this song the worst music duet ever, I presume. Worse than Nelson Eddy. But here it is. What was it? Paul McCartney's duet with whom on what song? Worst music duet ever, according to the BBC.
Tony Bennett on Little Girl. I don't know. Sorry.
Tony Bennett and Paul McCartney? And did they ever duet?
It's about time. You better get to it quick.
Yeah, I know. They should if they haven't. I agree
that's
with
right.
you.
Okay,
that's
Jay.
Not the correct
sorry
answer.
About that. And you know what? We're out of time, so you're going to have to give this answer, and we're going to leave it here.
The correct answer, according to the BBC, is Ebony and Ivory. I, however, will say that for me, that is not great, but it is not nearly as incredibly awful as The Girl Is Mine, his duet with Michael Jackson, which is creepy for endless reasons. I'm just going to put that out there, that I think the BBC6 might have made
a
mistake.
Was it Stevie Wonder?
It was Stevie Wonder. Didn't I say that? No, Ebony and Ivory, Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I could think of
as we know,
much worse than that. But we have to leave it there. Peter Sagal, the great host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, heard at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoons on AM 820, 11 o'clock Sunday mornings on FM 93.9, author now of the book of Vice, Very Naughty Things to Do and How to Do Them. This has been so much fun doing the news quiz with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian, for having me.
And don't forget, we are giving away as a thank you gift in our membership drive the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Page a Day 2008 calendar, from which we drew some of those questions for a $120 pledge to WNYC right now. That's yours as a thank you gift. Thanks for all of your support for WNYC, everybody.